Well, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and as you already know from the themes of our children's sermon, our music, and our litany, and all that we have read today, it's Thanksgiving and gratitude. That is our focus for the day. This Sunday before Thanksgiving is the traditional time every year when preachers stand up on that Sunday and tell us as Christians that we should be thankful, that we should be grateful. So, are you ready? This week we should be thankful. This week we should be filled with gratitude. This week we should count our blessings and be thankful to God. Let us pray. I'm kidding. I was really trying to beat Doyle, but that's okay. I'll get there. No, but really, what else needs to be said today, right? Probably when you were on your way to church this morning or when you turned on the computer, if you're watching, you probably already knew we're going to hear about being thankful today, right? That's kind of the focus of this Sunday. What else do we need to say? Well, maybe as we've already heard several times this morning, from the children's sermon to the litany to the prayer to the music, maybe what we've heard is Thanksgiving is really more than just about our attitude. It's more than just a day to be thankful. Maybe this season of the year reminds us how we should live. Psalm 100, that was our litany for today. I was thinking about that psalm. It is one of the first extended passages of scripture that I memorized as a child. I still remember I was 6 or 7 years old. We lived in a small little house over in Gwinnett County. And I remember standing in the kitchen of that small little house and saying over and over and over again, Psalm 100. Other than just a verse to memorize, it was the first entire passage or section of scripture that I had memorized. And I was so proud of memorizing that passage of scripture. But, you know, the one verse that kept going over and over in my mind when I memorized it is, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We said this morning, worship the Lord with gladness. The word is similar. In the Hebrew, worship, serve the Lord with gladness. As I reflect on those words, the psalmist is saying the same thing to us. It's more than just gladness. It's how you serve. It is how you worship. Serve the Lord, but do so with gladness. Were there ever a person who wrote about the opportunity to give thanks or gratitude, it was Paul. I recently read some interesting statistics about Paul and his teachings about gratitude and giving thanks. One person counted how many times Paul actually wrote about being thankful. Here's what he found. The pastor said, Paul was a powerfully thankful man. Gratitude pulsed through his veins. By count, Paul uses the word thanks 24 times in his writing. Add one more from his speech to the sailors on that torturous cruise to Rome, recording in Acts 27. That's 25 times Paul says thanks. But 11 more times he uses the word in the singular, thank. And thanksgiving can be found in Paul's writings, either as to churches or to young preachers, 7 times. Oh, add thanksgivings, the plural, once as well. And thankful, twice. Thanked, 2 times also. Even thankfulness, once. That adds up to 49 occurrences of the theme of gratefulness, either to God vertically or to his companions horizontally. Nearly 50 times Paul writes about thanksgiving. In our text for this morning, Paul is not just writing about thanksgiving, he's writing about how we should live, but I want you to note the theme of thanksgiving in these verses. Follow along as we read our text for today, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 7. It's in your printed in your word of worship, or you can follow in your Bible. Paul is writing to a group of people about how they should live, but listen for the theme of gratitude and thankfulness. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in work or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." It's obvious, isn't it? Paul was a person of gratitude and thanksgiving. But as we heard, it's more for Paul than just an attitude. It is a way of living. In Paul's letter to the Christian community in Colossae, he's writing to a group of people who were struggling. Colossae had been a vibrant, dominant city. It had gone through wonderful years where there was just a lot of excitement and energy and thriving commerce. But now, the city was declining. Neighboring cities were experiencing growth, but not Colossae. The people of Colossae were struggling. Life was not as good for them as it had been in the past. And the church was struggling too. In the earlier years, Christian fellowship in the church at Colossae, it had flourished. The numbers were increasing. There was excitement. There was enthusiasm. The church was growing. It was vibrant. But now, problems, quarrels, arguments, dissension. With all of these things, Thanksgiving was much more difficult for the people of Colossae than it had been in years earlier. And Paul knew their tendency was going to be to focus on their hardships, to center their attention on their difficulties, their struggles, their obstacles, their challenges. These were the forefront of their minds, not gratitude, not thanksgiving. The people felt that they were victims of a decline in enthusiasm and energy and excitement that was not their fault. They struggled to see the good in life. Living gratefully was far from their minds. But in these verses, Paul describes what he sees as the characteristics of the Christian life. Paul says, the person who is seeking to live like Christ, here's what their life looks like. They are compassionate. They are kind to everyone they meet. They are full of humility. There is gentleness in their spirit. There is a sense of patience there. If that sounds familiar, it is very similar to the list of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul wrote about in Galatians. These qualities characterize the life of Jesus. Therefore, they should characterize the life of those who would follow him. But then Paul adds something else, forgiveness. In addition to the fruits of the Spirit, Paul reminds the Christians who were struggling to feel grateful that forgiveness is at the very heart of the life of those who would follow Christ. Not holding grudges, not harboring unforgiving sentiments. If God has forgiven us, then with gratitude and thanksgiving, we share that same spirit of forgiveness with one another. But then he comes to the heart of the matter. It is in verse 14. He writes, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Some versions of scripture read the way I have entitled the sermon today, and above all these, and over all these, and above all these, put on love. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, all of these things we talked about are important. They are characteristics of the Christian life: compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. But even above and beyond all of these things, love is the key if you want to live with gratitude and thanksgiving. Essentially, everything he says he listed earlier is a manifestation of love. Love is larger than any of these things. In fact, it is larger than all of them combined. This morning, I would say it this way. Love is what enables us to live with gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, Paul wrote something similar in his letter to the church in Corinth. You know, that love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about what love is and defines it for us. And he concludes that beautiful section by saying, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, above all else, is love." According to Paul, love is the binding power which holds the whole Christian community together. As we are and have been loved by God, we are then empowered and enabled to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving by loving others. If love is presented as the bond, it is the very thing that ties us together with all of these other characteristics. We cannot be people of compassion or kindness or gentleness or faithfulness without love. Augustine, the great theologian, said it this way: love God and do as you please. In other words, if you love God, then you will live and do and be the person God wants you to be. See, it is the possibility of living a life of love that enables us to live with gratitude and thanksgiving. Notice what Paul says at the end of this section. And that's why I emphasized it when I read. Paul gives three of the most important commands in the last few verses of this section of scripture that we see. And notice how he concludes each one of them. Verse 25, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful." As you let the peace of Christ rule your heart, be thankful. Then look, verse 16. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God." How? "With gratitude in your heart." Serve the Lord with gladness, the psalmist would say. "And whatever you do," the third command, 17, "and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." How? "Giving thanks to God the Father through him." I believe Paul is saying a life of love and gratitude is much more than just an occasional opportunity of being thankful. A life of love and gratitude becomes the lens through which we see the world. Often, like the people in Colossae, we are tempted to focus on our hardships, to center our attention on the difficulties and obstacles and challenges and the struggles of life. They're real. They're all around us. We've talked about them through our mask series and other sermons before. The struggles and difficulties of this life are real, and our temptation is to focus on these things in our life. But Paul is saying, make the lens through which you see the world the lens of love and gratitude. A Roman statesman and philosopher, Seneca, said, "People are as unhappy as they have convinced themselves to be." It's true. Abraham Lincoln reportedly said something very similar. "A person is about as happy as they make up their mind to be." The Scottish preacher Robert Murray McTeon said, "I feel it is my duty to be as happy as the Lord wants me to be." In other words, living a life of love and gratitude enables us to do all that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and above all of these things, to put on love and therefore see the world through the lens, the eyes of God, the lens of love and gratitude. That is what enables us to look beyond the circumstances of life to live with true thanksgiving. I recently read about two missionaries who were kidnapped. Their names were Martin and Gracia Burnham. They were captured at gunpoint. They spent a year in captivity, faced near starvation, and were caught in the middle of frequent gun battles. In the end, both of the missionaries were shot. Martin was killed, but Gracia lived to tell their story. And Gracia said near the end of the ordeal, it was Martin who looked at her one day and he said, "You know, Gracia, I don't know why, but the Lord has allowed this to happen. I don't know why, but today I've been thinking about Psalm 100. How can we serve the Lord with gladness? Just because we're here doesn't mean we can't serve God with gladness. So let's serve the Lord with gladness." Gracia said they prayed together, they laid down in their hammocks, and it was just a few moments later that gunfire started. Gracia fell to the ground wounded. She slid down a steep hill and came to rest beside Martin. He was bleeding from his chest. His breathing was heavy. He gave one final breath and then he was gone. But those words of Psalm 100, she says, never left her heart. Here are her words. "The Lord has given me joy. We can have a hard day here, but I'm still dumb enough to be really, really grateful. And even when they were dragging me up the hill from Martin," she said, "I could see that he had died. But you know what? I was grateful. I was grateful in my heart. I can't explain it," she says, "but I don't have to feel guilty or deny it. And above all these, put on love to serve the Lord with gladness." This week, let us pause. Let us give thanks to God. It is right. It is worthy that we should do so. But as we do, may our thankfulness and praise be a reminder of how we can live each day of our lives. Above all these, put on love, serve the Lord with gladness. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, like those who have gone before us, it is so easy to focus our attention on the difficulties of this life and of this world. Help this week be a reminder to us that we are indeed blessed people. Help us to put on love so that we might serve you with gladness and thanksgiving and gratitude. Lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.